Tonight we're going to think of an interesting and important subject. And that subject is, what does God ask of us when we come to church? What does God ask of us when we come to church? The more I think about this, the more I realize that there are many commands, truths about proper Christian behavior when a person comes to church. Obviously, we're in a world of change, cultural change, a change in attitude about God. I think it was even last Sunday, we talked about the change in our culture. And we did show a couple slides, but in my mind, I never forget the picture of a 2008 Milwaukee Journal, that the title of the article was Milwaukee 50 Years Ago. And they had a picture of a little family going to church. And the father was dressed in a suit and tie. Mother was dressed with in a dress and a hat. And the little boy had a little suit on. And the little girl had a little dress on. They're going to church. And he says, well, this is what Milwaukee was like 50 years ago on a Sunday morning. That picture really reflected an attitude or understanding of God that was much different than people's understanding of God today. So as we think about this subject, what does the Bible say about our behavior, about our attitude, by our actions? When we come into the Lord's house, there's a lot of truth, even commands in the scripture concerning this. This is for adults. This is for children. These aren't suggestions. These are commands. Certainly, a parent could never teach their children proper conduct in the Lord's house if they don't know themselves what proper conduct in the Lord's house is. So we're going to take part of a journey tonight and look at some New Testament verses. We'll look at some Old Testament. It certainly isn't going to be conclusive, let's look at what the Word of God has to say about this important subject. So let's start with Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Now, we recognize that in the Old Testament there was the temple, and the temple, in the temple there was a holy place and there's the Holy of Holies. Shekinah glory dwelt in the Holy of Holies. That was the very presence of God. Now in the New Testament, the Bible tells us this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talking to the church, it says, ye, plural, are the temple of God. When the people of God gather together, this is a literal house of God. God dwells there. That's why when the people of God gather, and that the Spirit of God is there, and the Word of God should have free course more than any other place, because the church, the assembly of the believers, is the temple of God. When the people gather together, it is the dwelling place of God Himself. Now, here in Psalm 100, notice what the Bible says, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Now, we all agree with that verse. But what does it really say? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. What does that say about how you come to church? What does that say about when you come in the doors of the church? What does it say when you're in the auditorium? What is proper behavior in the house of God? I think the Bible's pretty clear that the focus is God. Now, that's the picture we need to have. God is here, and we are here. And we are worshiping Him. That is what church is about. That attitude of humility, that attitude of God-centeredness, God-focus, that's what church is about. Now, let's look at 1 Chronicles 16. And here we have David talking about the worship of God. And there's some great verses here. And this is talking about the songs to be sung in the house of the Lord. It tells us the kind of songs that we should be singing. The focus of these songs, verse 23, it says, sing unto the Lord. Huh. That's a simple truth. Who is the focus of our singing? God. That's the focus. When we come to church, that is the focus. God. Now, I think some people should have their children sitting with them in church, because when their children are in church, I can see from here that their focus is in God. There's anything but focusing on God. But the Bible tells us that church is a place that we are singing unto God. Now, we could say a lot of things there. But you know, I think this singing is also a decision. You know that? Singing is a decision. That's why we teach our children, you sing. Singing is a act, a decision of submission. It's a decision to worship God. Come into his presence with singing. That's a decision. If a young person is not singing when it's time to sing, typically the problem is God is not in their thoughts. They are not humble. They're not worshipful. They're up here, and God is down here. Now, you know, think of these verses. You know, what very simple truth. You know, when we come to church, what do? You know, are we thinking about the lawnmower that needs to be fixed? You know, are we thinking about the job that we, you know, left undone that needs to be completed? Are we thinking about, you know, what we're going to do in the afternoon? You know, all of those realities kind of tell us, wait a minute. We didn't come to God to worship God. We came for some other reason. And remember what the Bible says about the heathen. God is not in all their thoughts. God is not the center of their thoughts. Certainly, God ought to be the center of our thoughts when we come to church. Now, let's look at some other great truths in the Bible. Let's go to a very obvious one, Matthew chapter 13. And verse 9. Matthew chapter 13. Now here we have a parable of the sower sowing the seed, which is the word of God. And he's making a very important point concerning the word of God. What is the point? He that hath ears, let him what? Hear. Oh. What is it saying? It's saying a very important truth that the word of God requires people to hear. It requires people to hear. It requires people to listen. Now, now, listening is a choice. Listening is a worshipful choice. A person chooses to listen. You know, the difference between coming to church and a conversation is, you know, a conversation is back and forth. And you know, when you're witnessing to a person, many times you don't have a captive audience because they're thinking about what they're going to say next. You know what I'm saying? And one of the benefits of coming to church is that you aren't thinking of what you're going to say next. You're thinking about listening. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listening. Come to listen. That's what church is about, listening. Now, I think we could agree on that. The worship service requires, demands people listen. Now, that's a choice. But a worship service is when the people choose to listen. Understand? It is a choice to listen. Now, if you're sleeping, you're not listening. Now, sometimes that can't be avoided. But I know if people are bitter at me, they don't listen. But listening is pretty important. Listening is important. Now, there's two aspects of that. One is certainly to distract other people from listening would violate that principle, wouldn't it? To distract other people from listening would violate that principle. And in the parable of the sower, the devil's job is to snatch away the word of God. And you know what? Let's just think about it. What can you do to keep somebody from listening to the Bible? Well, young person, you know what you could do? You could get up and go to the bathroom. And depending where you're sitting in the church, there's going to be a multitude of people whose eyes are upon you, watching you go out the door. And for whatever time that takes, guess what? Those people aren't going to be listening, are they? They're going to be distracted. And someone allowed that distraction to take place. So the principle is listening. It's a willful choice. Now, I've had people tell me, you know, when I sit in a certain spot, I can't pay attention because the young people are talking. They're joking. They're conversing one with another. You can't pay attention. They have something to say. Well, church is about listening. Now, I realize that, you know, a parent may have to take a child down to the special room downstairs. But someone was commenting to me the other day. He said, I've watched parents do that, take their children down to that special room. And I noticed that after a couple times, they didn't have to do it again. Why? Because it was all about teaching their children how to listen and not be a distraction. See, a distraction is selfish. It's self-centered. We have a holy God. And to know that holy God means to tremble in His presence. There's an attitude that we have to come to church with. Psalm 90... Nine. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. Now, you know, the cherubim, that's talking about the throne of God. That's talking about the presence of a holy God. That's the God that we worship. That is the God who indwells this place when the people of God are here. It said, the Lord is great in Zion, high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Now, the word terrible isn't the idea of terrible in a negative sense, but the word terrible speaks of such an awesome, overwhelming name. And it says, for it is holy. You see, church is about God. That's what it's about, God. It's a decision that we make about God. Now, there's a lot of truth in the Bible about different things about the Lord's house. Let's continue to look at some of those great truths. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, this is quite appropriate because in verse 25 it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's talking about church. The church is the word assembly. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, as we read the context, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you look at the whole context, one of the great truths here is that when we come to church, we are coming with a purpose to provoke others to do right. We are provoking others to do right. Now, that's an important thought, isn't it? We're coming to minister to others, because we are under God and we are there to provoke others to love and to good works. It tells us that, yes, our focus is God, but our focus is other people as well. Our focus is to provoke other people to do that which is right. Our focus is not ourselves. Our focus is other people. Why? Because we are serving God. And church is about God. Now, let's put things into perspective here. In 2016, what's the shift that's taking place? The shift that is taking place is that church is becoming less and less about God. And it's become more and more about men. Let me explain that. You know, in a consumer-friendly church, they say, come as you are. In a consumer-friendly church, you have church on Saturday night. If you plan a day of vacation or family gathering on Sunday, you don't have to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. You can worship God, so to speak, on Saturday. And I guess you could. But you know, along with that, though, you got to make sure that the service is not more than an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Because, you know, people are busy. And, you know, everything in church is about people. It's not about God, so to speak, really. fitting into people's life. And you know, you aren't supposed to have pews, you're supposed to have chairs. And you aren't supposed to have congregational singing. You're supposed to have a worship team that entertains you. And the sermon isn't supposed to be about sin. The sermon is supposed to make you feel good. The consumer-friendly church is all about the consumer. And who does all the compromising? It's God. Because the focus is on man. And the music is not reverent and holy. The music is fleshly and entertaining. I mean, that's where our world has become. That's what church has become. Now, there's some other interesting verses in the Bible. Let's turn to some of them. There's really so many different ones. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Many times we look at these verses and we think of them in a setting that is different than reality. 1 Corinthians 11 is talking about a church. You know what? There was a church in Corinth. And he's talking about a real church with real people. Okay? Now, so what does he say to this real church of real people? He says, verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. And every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. What's it saying? Who's supposed to be the focus of church? Who's supposed to be the focus of church? God. What is the picture of church? The picture of church is God is up here. We have come to adore Him and honor Him and worship Him. And we are humble, saved sinners, worshiping before this mighty, mighty God. And so now he's talking about attitudes displayed in public worship that would be contrary to that picture. In other words, can I say it in different words, maybe not 100% accurate? But what it's saying is that people don't come to church to worship God in a way that would say the opposite. So it's saying that a man, let's pick on the ladies first. A woman who would come to pray having her head uncovered would be dishonoring her head. It would be saying, I'm in rebellion against authority. I'm in rebellion against God's plan of authority. Is that how you worship God? Well, let's put it in a different way. Okay? Let's put it in a different way. Is this worship? A young person comes to church and they're sitting like this. What are they displaying? Rebellion. Right? Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible is saying the same thing. Now, our society has gotten so far away from God that this is like in outer space. But here's the other hand, verse 14. It says, verse 13, it says, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto the God uncovered? No, it's not comely. It's not. The Bible says, worship God in the beauty of holiness. And so it says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So it's here's a key verse. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. In other words, the angels. Evil angels. They can look. And they can see that our people are displaying their rebellion. And the evil angels say, aha. I have an inroad. Now, I realize that there can be a situation in which people, you know, are doing something that they don't even know is rebellious. Okay? But when a person knows what they're doing is rebellious and they do it publicly, that disrupts the worship of God. That disrupts the worship of God. Now, along that same line, let's take another, let's take a jump in a different direction, because we'll come back to this a little bit. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Now here's the chapter in which Nadab and Abihu brought strange fire before the Lord. And they said that God killed them because they worshipped God in a way that God commanded not. This is very interesting. So strange fire, which I say proper worship, is to worship God in the way that He has commanded. To worship God improperly is to worship God in a way that He has not commanded. Now, in the midst of this, and I'm not sure really, but this is a possibility, that Nadab and Abihu were drunk. And that's why they dared worship God in a way that He had not commanded. And God struck them dead. But notice verse 9 and 10. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, between the unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now notice, what is he saying about worshiping God, having drunk alcohol? What does it say? Forbidden. Forbidden. Now, what I find is amazing about this, I mean, the obvious truth is it would be very, very, very bizarre for a person who claims to be a believer to have a beer and then go to church. It is a reflection of their attitude about God, which is very, very wrong. Remember, worship. God is here. And we are here adoring Him at His holy feet. To approach God having drunk a can of beer is very sacrilegious. Now think about it, though. You think about how distorted religion has become. There's this whole brand of religion that worships God in the Lord's Supper with alcoholic beverage. Huh? Huh? And if it's the fifth mass of the day, the priest even might be half inebriated. You talk about distortion of worship. The Bible is teaching us how we worship God. So let's go to Exodus 20. Here again is the context of worshiping God. Exodus 20. Here are the priests worshiping God. It says, verse 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar. In other words, you have robes. They come down to your ankles. But when you worship God, you know, and you're working on this altar, you don't have steps. Why? Because your robe comes up a little bit. And they see your nakedness. Now, let's put it in context. 2017. Is it not common in many places for people to worship God as though they are going to the park? Dressed like they're going to the park? I'm talking about men. Shorts on. I suppose some places even have tank tops. Gross. But what's the issue? Their understanding of who God is and who He isn't in their life. Later on, we find that same prohibition about their nakedness, lest they die. First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. But we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 first. Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 is the key verse in Timothy. And the book of Timothy needs to be interpreted in light of the key verse. Here's the key verse. But if I tarry long, Paul went to Philippi, remember? And he left Timothy at Ephesus. He'd gotten out of jail, and he wrote the Philippian letter in jail, and he says, as soon as I can, I'm going to get over to you, Philippians. And so he got out of jail, the ship landed in Ephesus, and he visits the church at Ephesus, and he sees all these problems there, and he leaves Timothy there, because he has to go to Philippi, fulfill his promise. And so he says, if I tarry long, okay, Timothy, if I have to, if it's going to be, it's going to be a while before I get back there. So while I'm gone, I'm writing this to you to set in order the things in the church. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Huh. This good verse against the universal church. Thou mayest behave thyself in the house of God. Church is the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church of the living God. It's the New Testament church. How to behave yourself, New Testament church. Okay? So, let's see what it says. And let's see what it says in light of that. Verse 9 of chapter 2. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Appropriate apparel to worship God. Appropriate apparel to worship God. And it describes that appropriate apparel. It says, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which is becoming of women who profess godliness, backed up with a life of good works. Now notice what it's saying. It fits right into what we've been saying. Well, how do you act when you come to church? You act like God is the great one. Our focus is on Him. Everything we do is about Him. We are coming into His presence and we are worshiping, bowing down before our mighty God, who is terrible, who is holy. What's appropriate? What's appropriate for a woman? Appropriate apparel to worship God? Shamefacedness. Timidness, that's what the word is. Timidness, not boldness. Timidness. Sobriety. Not with gold or pearls or all that stuff. Not bringing attention to me. And never, never, never would it be appropriate to dress sensually in the house of God where we come to worship God. Ho! How could it be? Dress sensually? Why? We're worshiping God. This is the house of God. It's not a fashion show. That's what the Bible says. It's not a fashion show. It certainly is not a place like 1 Corinthians 13 says that we are showing that we are not submitting to our role as a woman or as a man. And certainly, we are showing by our apparel that we are submitted to and under and adoring God. Boy, you know, the Bible says there's a lot in the outward. There is a lot in the outward. That's what it's saying right here. Because our outward is reflecting who we think God is. I've had more than one man say to me, it's so refreshing to come to McQuonigle Baptist Church because I can come and worship God. I don't have to guard my eyes against women who are dressing to draw attention to themselves and to their features. Exactly. Because the house of God is about worshiping God. It's not showing off us. We are showing who God is. And that He is higher than us. You know, you know, it takes a little bit of time, you know, to put a sport coat on. You know, have, you know, polished shoes, have a tie on. It's saying something. It's saying there is somebody that is very important that I am respecting and showing my respect to. Now let's put it in a different way. If you were going to go to an interview a very important company and this is an important job position available and I know even Whitewater has a business school. You can see that they teach these young people this. I mean, when it's job fair, I mean, I tell you what, I like to tease these guys, you know, they got a tie and coat and, you know, they're dressed up. I says, man, I says, you look like an executive, you know. You look like you're important. No, you know what? They are going to go to a job interview and they are, by their dress, they are showing their respect of that person who's going to interview them. And they're showing that person that they understand respect and propriety. Yes, exactly. Because church is about him. That's what it's about. Him. You know, that's what we need to think about. That's what we need to know. That church is about God. And church is about worshiping God. And we come to church to worship God. Our music, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord. Well, you know, as a father, you can identify with this. It really is hard, isn't it, to have your child speak to you disrespectfully? I mean, it's hard. What about God? When human beings talk to him in a disrespectful manner. You know, they take the music from the bar room. They take the music from the nightclub. And they're worshiping God with that. You see, worship is about God. And you know, we're teaching our young people about God when they come to church. I would say, I'm just probably a good calculated guess that when parents violate these principles, adults violate these principles, they're robbing their children of the correct view of God. I think it's important for a child to see a parent or an adult. You know what? I think it's important for a child to see a dad walk this aisle. I think that's important. For that child to see that God, there's somebody that's bigger than my dad and he listens to him. He humbles himself before him. He is corrected by him. It's very important for a child to see that. Because we are reflecting who God is. This is his house. Now, let me ask this simple question. What do you think of God? What do you think of God? Is the way you come to church, is that the correct message of how you believe about God? I think so. I think so. It's pretty close. On the other hand, when we follow the biblical teaching, we are humbling ourselves under God's hand so we can learn more about Him. So we can hear His message. Yes, church is about worshiping God. It's about Him. Everything is about Him. If He is on the throne, if He is number one, if He is holy, if He is great and mighty, and we owe Him our all. If we are humble before Him, that's what church is all about. Worshiping God. We listen. We pay attention because God is worthy to listen to. We decide if we're going to listen. We decide that. The fear of the Lord needs to fall upon us. In this day of entertainment, we need to get back to old-fashioned worship of God. And we need to seriously understand that and consider that. And you know, times are changing, young people. David, how old are you? 13. Man, I'm 53 years older than you. And guess what? Sorry to say, but not too many years, I'm going to be gone. And you know what? Now it's going to be your job to teach the people who God is. What you teach the people to be of God, who God is, will it be the correct view? Or will it be the view distorted by culture and the times in which we live? Worship is a big word in the Bible. Bow down before Him. He is a holy God. That's what we do when we come to church. We bow down before Him. And yes, we are New Testament age. Praise the Lord! He is risen. Amen? And they both go together. Because we know our God, and we can only know Him through Jesus Christ. Might be worthy of discussion in your home. How do we worship God? From all appearances, most people got it all put together. Some people need to have some family discussions. Some people need to have their family sitting together because they don't know what their children are doing. But we need to recognize that that God's house is the place that we show our submission to Him. Because that's how we worship Him. We can only worship Him in submission to Him. And we reflect that in a multitude of ways when we come to the Lord's house. Let's pray. Lord, vital truths for the day in which we live. And Lord, we're reminded that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And Lord, we just know that that very concept is evaporating from society, is evaporating from our nation, is evaporating, Lord, from adults. It's evaporating, Lord, maybe never has been in many young people. But we thank you that, Lord, that when your Holy Spirit begins to show us our sin, that we begin to understand that you're a holy God. And we begin to understand that we are sinners and we have violated your law. And we need redemption. We need to be redeemed. We need a new birth. We need, as the children of Satan, to become the children of God only by your mercy and grace through the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that those who are here tonight that aren't saved because they have never met a holy God, they have never met him, they've never come under the sense of their sinfulness and their frailty as a man, as mankind. I pray that, Lord, that somehow tonight something would strike their soul about who you are and what it is, Lord, to come before you, the holy God. And Lord, help us to realize that we come to church with a sum total of how we lived that week. We don't come to church with a show. Lord, we come to church to worship when we can worship. When our life is about submitting to you. When our life is about obeying you. When our life is such, then we can come to your house with that attitude to worship the King. And so, Lord, I pray that the truth of these truths will be understood within our hearts and minds. That they that worship God must worship him in spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and in truth. For such God you seek to worship you. May it be so, Lord. While our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe the Lord tonight has spoken to you about maybe correcting some things that are not, appropriate to the worship of God. And there's some changes need to be made. And you got fellowship with the Lord. God spoke to you and you said, okay, that's it. I'm changing that. Some changes need to be made. Say, Pastor, God spoke to me. I'm not going to just know about the change. I'm making a decision tonight about a change. Maybe you're a young person and you're going to change. Maybe you're an adult. Some of the things you do in church that are distracting or unworshipful. And God has spoken to your heart. He said, I'm going to make some changes. And by an uplifted hand, just indicate that you're making a decision before the Lord. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Perhaps the Lord has spoken to you another way. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you in just this concrete, positive way of how we're supposed to come to God. Not something that you have been rebelling against God, but just this attitude of worship and our focus being on Him. And purposely listening because we are submitted to God. Purposely deciding that we are coming to worship God. That's how we come to church. And the Lord has spoken to you about that spirit in which you come to the Lord's house. And how that needs to be increased in its focus on God and what He expects of us. Say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart about that. And there's a definite decision I'm making tonight for His glory. Anyone here? Okay? Amen. Lord, now I thank you for your word. and for these truths and for decisions made and the thoughts that are going home with us tonight. And I pray that in your mercy, Lord, that these thoughts would invade and pervade our church. That the world would be kept out, that self would be kept out, and that we would truly show that we have come to worship you, to fall down before you, submit to you, adore you, lift you up for who you are. Lead us, Lord, in that pathway. Bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.